It's interesting, as we come to the Word of God, there are two feasts or two celebrations, I don't know exactly how you want to put it, that come over into the New Testament. One of them is Passover. And then we have, according to Isaiah 7:14, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel." And Emmanuel, interpreted from the Hebrew, means God with us. Okay. In this 12th chapter of Exodus, we have the celebration of Passover. This is when the Jews were delivered from Egypt. And interestingly, if we're going to do it in terms of what the Scriptures say and not according to tradition, we should be waiting until April to celebrate the birth of our Lord. I want to read just a little bit about the Passover lamb here, and then we'll go back to the accounts in Matthew. "And the Lord spake unto Moses," this is Exodus 12 and verse 1, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you." Interestingly, the Jews have reversed it. They've made their what used to be the seventh month now their new year. And, I don't know when they did it. I should have done a little research on that. But the month that we're talking about here is the month of the Passover. And Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. I want to read a little bit further here. "This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you." Now, if you think about trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and the Scripture says in 1 Corinthians 5:7, I think it is, "Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us." Now, what are we talking about Passover for when we're supposed to be celebrating Christmas? Christmas, as introduced to us by the Roman Catholic Church, is completely out of sync with when our Lord was really born. Now think about it. What were the shepherds doing? They were watching their flocks by night. Okay. When did the shepherds watch their flocks by night? They do it during lambing season, because as the ewes would drop their lambs, in birth, if they were in a fold with all the sheep crowded together, they would be trampled to death. So the period of time when the shepherds watch their flocks by night, they have to get them out of the fold so that as they drop the lambs won't be trampled. The mother will go over and clean them up, and then they'll be nursing and on their feet very quickly. Yeah. And that's the way it works in the real world. But because of the Roman Church, and I think it was Constantine that, selected December 25th for Christmas. Lambs aren't born in the winter. They're born in the spring. So as we read here, we see, "Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the house be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls, every man according to his eating." Okay, so it has to be a lamb of the first year. Okay, so lambs are born in the spring. So you could go a whole year and still have a lamb of the first year. You would almost, it'd be at the point. So in 2 Corinthians 5, it says that Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Christ is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Now let's go back to Matthew, and we'll look at Matthew, and then we'll also look at Luke. And I just want to show, don't want to shake anybody up. It's okay to celebrate Christmas. It's a lot of fun with Santa Claus and flying reindeer. And then Gene Autry wrote the song Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And ever since he wrote that song, nobody knows the names of the other reindeer. Suddenly Rudolph becomes the king. I saw an ad on television. Here's a new car with its grill and a reindeer looking at it. And as it gets closer to the grill, his nose turns red. This must be Rudolph. Well, I was just a young boy when Gene Autry wrote that song, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Rudolph, with your nose so bright, won't you guide my sleigh tonight? It was a foggy night. And if you think about it, it is absolutely impossible to go from the North Pole to every country in the world in just in one night. Even if you had, supersonic jet that we used to have, they had to, ash can them after a while because the heat at flying at supersonic speeds, the skin of the aircraft had become heated. And when the plane was on the ground and cold, the pilot couldn't put his hand between the control panel and the outside skin. But when they would get up to supersonic speeds, it would expand so much that there was a huge gap between the control panel. You couldn't put your hand in there because it would be too hot, get burned. And they could fly from London to somewhere in the United States in just a couple of hours. But if you think about the whole scenario of Santa Claus and all, it's great fun for kids, and when kids learn about Santa Claus, that he's not really real, then what happens? Now, they keep up the roost. They don't want to blow. We've got a good deal going here. Don't blow it. Don't tell Mom and Dad that we know Santa Claus, that doesn't exist, that they're down there putting the gifts under the tree. So when we come to Matthew chapter 2, it says, now when Jesus was born. Now, if we could read this in Greek, we would find that this verb is in the perfect tense. So it should read, now Jesus, having been born in Bethlehem of Judea. Now, it's important to realize that he was already born when the Magi, were talking about them seeing the star while they were in the east. So what God did was he announced the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ with a star. And then the Magi had to travel from over around where ancient Babylon used to be, all the way up over the Fertile Crescent, down through Syria, all the way. But they arrived in Jerusalem. That's where the star led them. And they inquired, where is he that's born King of the Jews? And Herod called. He didn't know anything about the birth of the King of the Jews. He was very jealous over the concept that there would be a king other than him. So, He took note of when the Magi saw the star. Now let's go over to Luke. Anyway, we'll put all of this together a little bit. And there's an outline of it in my Christmas letter this year, so it'll help you remember it. So in Luke's Gospel, the second chapter, I think it is, or is it first? And it came to pass in those days, chapter 2 of Luke and verse 1, that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be enrolled, is the word in the Greek. It was an enrollment for a taxation, but it wasn't actually a taxation at that point in time. You had to sign, and you had to go to the city of your birth. So Mary was pregnant. And she was pregnant, and the angel of the Lord let Joseph know that that thing which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. So don't be worried about it. She hasn't been unfaithful. This is, we'll read the account and we'll get the details. And all went to be enrolled. Everyone in verse 3 into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea and the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. Mary was also of the house and lineage of David. And to be enrolled, not taxed, but to be enrolled with Mary's espoused wife. Now, in Israel, at this point in history, if a couple were going to be married, they would be engaged for an entire year. And it was during that year of the engagement, before the actual marriage, that Mary was found with child. And, of course, Joseph, being a just man and not willing to, subject her to being stoned to death, actually. He kept his mouth shut. we'll get the details. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes. Swaddling clothes is just wrapping him up, so that he'd be warm. And laid him in a manger. Now, what's a manger? Well, when they came, because of everybody was going to the city of their birth, when they got to Bethlehem, there was no, it says no room in the inn. There weren't any Ramadas, there weren't any, name whatever motel you can think of in those days. People would stay with other families and, oftentimes relatives. But by the time that Joseph and Mary got there, there wasn't any place to put them up. So they were consigned to the cow shed and the hay. And a manger is a trough in which you put grain or hay for the animals. And it's just about the size of a cradle. So once Christ was born, they laid him in the manger. Okay. Now, in the meantime, out in the fields, the shepherds were watching their flocks by night. So Christ was born at the time that the lambs were being born. Who is Christ? Christ is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Passover is observed in the spring, the first month of the year. It's called a bib, And so we have, in Israel, because they operate on a lunar calendar, they go every so many months or every so many years. And then they have Adar, which is the last month of the year. And then they have second Adar to catch up with the difference between the lunar calendar and the solar calendar. Now, there is a difference, the length of time it takes the moon to orbit in an elliptical orbit around the Earth is 27 days and I've forgotten how many hours. Yeah. So, but how long does it take the Earth to orbit once around the sun? 365 days and 5 hours. Say. So, you know, so our orbit is around the sun, the moon's orbit is around the Earth. And God has it in perfect time. The moon is just the right distance from the Earth. So that, interestingly, water is spoken of as life. And if we think about the seas, just think about almost two-thirds of the Earth's surface is covered with salt water. And salt water prevents it from, you know, from the things that die in it and everything decaying and becoming a cesspool. Okay? And then because of the heat from the sun, there's evaporation, and the evaporation rises and becomes clouds, and the clouds move over the Earth. And if there's sufficient water content in those clouds, it drops as rain, or in the higher elevations as snow, sometimes it's sleet, you know. And so we have a cycle where there is no water, there is no life. Okay? And so God's design is perfect. And so we have the shepherds watching their flocks in the spring of the year. We have the Passover lamb has to be put to death in the spring of the year. You know, this shall be the beginning of months to you. You take a lamb on the 10th day of the month and examine it till the 14th day of the month, and the whole assembly of Israel shall kill it in the evening. If we read over in the 12th chapter of the Gospel of John, John tells us 6 days before Passover. Passover was on the 15th day of the month. So 6 days before Passover would be, what, the 9th day of the month. They left Ephraim and traveled from Ephraim to Jericho, and then from Jericho to Bethany. And there were quite a few events that took place. So they probably arrived at Bethany just about sunset. Now, John, because he wrote later than the other apostles, John used Roman time. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are written with Jewish time. So the Jews' day began and ended at sunset. Say, the night first, then at dawn the day, you know, as you can read about it back in Genesis, and the evening and the morning were what? The first day. See, so for in Scripture, in the Old Testament, and with the Jews, the night, if you've ever seen the play Fiddler on the Roof, you know, you know how busy the mother is trying to get ready because the sun's getting ready to go down and the Sabbath is about to begin. Now, if you go to the 23rd chapter of Leviticus, you'll find that every Passover was observed as a Sabbath. In fact, all of the feasts of the Jews except the Feast of First Fruits was observed as a Sabbath. Didn't make any difference which day of the week it fell on. All right? So the fact that the Sabbath was about to begin does not necessitate a Friday crucifixion. Because in the 12th chapter of Matthew, Jesus told the disciples, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so shall the Son of Man be what? 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. So there are not, from Friday afternoon at sunset, which would be Saturday, and then at dawn, you would have the Saturday day, you'd have Saturday night first, Saturday day, and then you'd have Sunday night, but the women arrived at the tomb while it was yet dark. So there are not 3 days and three nights between Friday afternoon. Christ was crucified on a Friday. He bowed his head at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and dismissed his spirit. You know, he didn't die from the effects of crucifixion. He said, no man takes my life from me. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. So Christ died in just 6 hours on the cross, you know, from 9 in the morning till 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Okay? So that's using our time. And so we put that all together, and it says over in the Gospel of John that he bowed his head and dismissed his spirit. Then over in Corinthians, it tells us that Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. The lamb had to be a lamb of the first year. So for Christ to fit as the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, he had to be born when lambs were born. Not in the middle of the winter. Okay? So now let's continue here. And it says they went to Bethlehem in verse 8, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, that's in Bethlehem, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem. Now they announced the birth of the Lamb of God. And they, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord made known unto us, or when the angels, while they were watching their flocks by night. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept these things and pondered them in her heart, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen and was told unto them. And when, you know, then at 8 days he's circumcised and so forth. So, Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea while the shepherds were watching their flock by night. The shepherds watched their flock by night in spring during lambing season, you know, and so Christ was born during lambing season. He's the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Now let's go back to Matthew. And we'll see that the events in Matthew, while they speak of the birth of the child, it's not at the time of the birth. It's as much as 2 years later. Okay? And so when we read, now when Jesus was having been born in Bethlehem, so he's already born when they, and has been for some time. Because as we will see, After Christ was born, the angel of the Lord warned Joseph and Mary, and not the babe, but the young child, and he took him into Egypt. We'll see that in this chapter. And when Jesus, having been born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east. That is, they were in the east when they saw the star. When did they see the star? When Christ was born. And then they had to travel all that distance. Well, if you consider that that's very arid, hot, country, and, traveling there, of course, for a good period of time. They would be along the headwaters of the Euphrates, so they would have water, you know. But it would take them some time to make the journey. How long? We don't know. Remember that Herod had inquired of them when the child was born. And then he gave an order when they didn't return. He gave an order to kill, and we don't learn this from our English translation. It says all of the children, but if we can read it in Greek, he killed all the male children, see, for all the boys from 2 years old and under. Well, they probably put a little margin of error there so they'd be sure and put the Christ to death. So they came then inquiring in the capital city, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. And when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea. And we read about that over in Micah 5:2. Okay? And for thus it is written by the prophet, and the prophet, of course, was Messiah, or was Micah. And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Now, these two births, or accounts of the birth, one presents Christ as the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. The other presents Christ as the King of the Jews. Now, Jesus, in his first advent, never reigned as king for 1 minute. See? So we have a separation in time in the accounts. We have the birth of the Lamb of God in Luke. We have the birth of the King of the Jews in Matthew. And there's a space of time between them. Okay? So they killed all of them from 2 years old and upward. A day is with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as a day. So we carry that over, and we can take the time between the first advent of Christ, when he was born in Bethlehem of Judea, and when he will return to this earth, first of all, to receive us, and then 7 years later, at the end of the Great Tribulation period, he will come to the earth to, you know, judge the false prophet and the Antichrist, you know, and cast them into the lake of fire. Okay? So that's separated now for almost 2,000 years. And a day is with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. So for almost 2 days now. Okay? And we have the separation from 2 years old and under. Okay, so that business of twos, one place it's days, the other's years. Okay, so then he comes and says, and verse 8, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. Well, that was a ruse. He just wanted to kill him. And when they had heard the king, they departed. And now notice what happens. This is not a normal star. This was a special star that they followed to Jerusalem. And then when they arrived and were questioning, the star disappeared. But now after being told that he's going to be in Bethlehem, the star reappeared. And now the star leads them to Bethlehem. Notice what it says. And when they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east, or while they were in the east, went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. Now, they just didn't jump on a jet aircraft and go a couple hours later and arrive in Bethlehem. You know, we have time between them seeing the star while they're in the east and the time when they arrive at Jerusalem. And then some time for them to follow the star to Bethlehem. Bethlehem is a short distance from Jerusalem. Okay. And so they went before them till it came and stood over where the young child. What? It doesn't say babe. It says young child. It's paideion in the Greek. So he's born as a babe in Bethlehem and laid in a manger. But when the Magi arrives, it's a young child, but he's not in a manger, he's in the house. And notice what it says. And it stood where the young child was, and when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into what? The house, they saw the young child, not baby, with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures and presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, there's three gifts for an entourage with that kind of wealth to travel from over in the area of Babylon all the way up over and down. It was probably maybe as much as 100 people that traveled. But we have three gifts, so there's the assumption that there were three kings. And we have songs, "We Three Kings of Orient Are," and all that type of thing. You see, tradition messes with truth. And the tradition with respect to Easter has Christ crucified on Friday and raised on Sunday. But Christ was actually crucified on Wednesday. He came to Bethany. He arrived there on a Friday at sunset. It was Saturday, and they made a feast for him. That's the night. He traveled on the ninth day of the month. As soon as the sun went down, even though John uses Roman time, Jewish time. The Jews observed the Passover. When was the lamb selected? On the 10th day of the month, or the 10th night of the month. Okay? So Mary made a feast, and afterwards she anointed Jesus for burial. When? At the time when the Passover lamb was to be selected. Okay. And then Judas made a big deal out of it. Why was not this ointment sold and given to the poor? John tells us, he said this, not that he cared for the poor, but he was the treasurer. He had the bag. And he was purloining, or that means he was dipping in and taking some for himself. So the account, with respect to when Christ was crucified. So he arrived on a Friday. Then we have Saturday night, Saturday day. And so it was the next day from John's perspective, using Roman time. It was the next day that he made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. He did it on the Sabbath. And the distance from Bethany to Jerusalem was what? Read it in the first chapter of Acts. It was a Sabbath day's journey. Perfectly lawful for him to travel that distance on a Saturday. And then so, he was crucified on a Thursday at 9 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, using Roman time. He bows his head and dismisses his spirit. Remember he told the disciples in the Gospel of John, he said, "No man takes my life from me. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again." Jesus didn't die from the effects of crucifixion. That usually took from 24 to 36 hours. See? But he died when the Passover lamb died, on the afternoon of the eve of Passover. That would be on a Wednesday day, And he was placed in the tomb just before Thursday night. And he was in the tomb Thursday night, Thursday day, Friday night, Friday day, Saturday night, Saturday day, and arose the first day of the week, or just as the sun went down on Saturday, which is the beginning of Jewish Sunday. So we have to look at a lot of scripture to put this together. You have to go to the 23rd chapter of Leviticus to see that every Passover was observed as a Sabbath. So it wasn't necessary for that Sabbath to be a Saturday Sabbath. It's assumed that it was a Saturday Sabbath because somebody failed to study and find out that virtually all of the feast days of the Jews were observed as Sabbaths. See? So you had the, you know, normal number of Sabbaths in a year plus the seven feasts of the Jews. So you had seven additional Sabbaths in the year for those feast days. Okay, now let's come back to this. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child and Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed unto their own country another way. That is, the Magi returned back to the east another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt. Do you think you could take a newborn baby, newly born, and travel through a very arid land to Egypt? You know, it wouldn't be the practical thing to do. We don't generally travel with infants, newly born, immediately after. Baby has to get settled, and mother has to get settled, and so on and so forth. She's got to heal from the birth, and the child needs to mature a little bit. So when you put all of this together, Christ was not born on December 25th. He was born sometime before the Passover, in the spring of the year during lambing. And when we put the two accounts together, we have a marvelous presentation of the first advent of Christ. He came as the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. And then with the coming to Jerusalem, he will come again in his second coming. He will come to Jerusalem, and under the reign of the Antichrist, the Mosque of Omar will be removed, and they will build a temple. And at the midpoint of the tribulation, the Antichrist with the false prophet, he will probably come to Rome, and the false prophet will probably be the Pope, whoever he is at that point in time. And he will say to the Jews, you have to worship him. And remember in the 17th chapter of Luke that we have a warning. When Lot had to flee from Sodom, the Jews will have to flee from Jerusalem. Now, and Jerusalem is spiritually called Sodom. Okay? The Jews practiced they were supposed to destroy all of the gods in the land, and they didn't do it. And first thing you know, they were worshiping all of the false gods of the land and intermarrying. They went into captivity because of this. There were various judgments that were brought upon them because of it. But they're still God's chosen people, and Christ is going to reign over them for 1,000 years. So at the end of the Great Tribulation period, Christ is going to return where? To the Mount of Olives. And when they see his feet touch upon the Mount of Olives, so those Jews that flee into the wilderness, apparently the angels that lead him out there will get them to return in time to see Jesus' feet touch the Mount of Olives, and they'll look on him whom they pierced and believe on him and be saved. The Word of God is very exact, but things that go together are not written together. And that's why we're told, study. For what reason? Sure. To show yourself approved. Approved to whom? The congregation? No. Approved unto God. A workman or a laborer for the Lord that, you know, won't be ashamed. You know, when you try to preach things without studying, you know, generally speaking, when we're preaching, the Lord, you know, I may have an idea of what I'm going to preach, but I never know exactly what I'm going to preach. Yeah. I have to, you know, God gave me certain spiritual gifts to be in the ministry. He's given Eric certain spiritual gifts for the ministry. We don't all have those same gifts, you know, but we have certain gifts that are necessary. Doesn't exalt us above anybody else. It just gives us more responsibility. You know? And so we're commanded. You know, remember when Paul wrote to Timothy and he wrote to him, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed? Timothy had shown some shame towards the Apostle Paul, even though he was with him in Rome for a good portion of his imprisonment. Then he left Rome, got together, I suppose, with some Jews, and then he began to observe things Jewish. And so we can read about this over in, well, let's go over to 2 Timothy. Oh, my pages are sticking together. That's from repairing this Bible. Okay. Now, I think it's the first chapter, 1 Timothy, first of all. Let me look. Okay. Okay. In verse 13 of the first chapter of 2 Timothy, hold fast the form. Oh, back up to it. Excuse me. Okay, let's start it in verse 6 of the first chapter of 2 Timothy. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. The reason we lay on hands, the priest did it, the person offering a sacrifice did it, to transfer, you know, or be identified with the sacrifice that was going to be put to death for his sins, to be identified with it, he laid his hands on his head. And when we ordain someone to the ministry, so that that individual will be identified with those of us in the ministry, we lay our hands on them, you know. So when I called, he says, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound or spiritual mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. So this is why I've theorized that Timothy got involved with Jews. And of course, the Jews didn't think very highly of our Lord. And so he says, don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. So Paul was imprisoned at Rome when he wrote this. But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose. So I have the spiritual gifts that I have, and Eric has the gifts that he has. You have the gifts that you have, according to God's purpose, totally in the church. See, nobody gets to select what they get. So then he said, according to his purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus, when before the world began. So we were saved, according to the book of Ephesians. God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. So there can't be any mistakes. Everyone that has been elected to salvation will be saved. You know, God knows who they were, but we don't. Therefore, we're to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Okay. So the free will thing works hand in hand with the election of God. Yeah, and so if we fail to do what God called us to do, somebody else is going to be rewarded at the judgment seat of Christ rather than you. Okay. So, because what we're going to be rewarded for is operating in our gifts by faith. Okay. Because we're not going to be judged for sin, because Christ was judged for our sin. And the promises, their sins and iniquities, will I remember against them? When? No more. So at the judgment seat of Christ, all of this foolishness that's been preached over the years, how you're going to be judged for your sins, and God's going to remember when he saw you two teenagers in the back seat of that car, and all that kind of nonsense. And I heard a lot of it in the three different Bible colleges I went to. Yeah. All of it false. Why? Men that should know better don't know better. Yeah. Why? Because they're so busy doing everything else that they don't spend any time studying. I have to read a little bit more. According to God's purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ. So he tells him in verse 13, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. And then he says later on, in verse 1 of the second chapter, now therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. Now I think it's verse 15. Verse 15 tells us how to not be ashamed. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. There's lots of times when I preach things that don't agree with what we have learned traditionally. But I've learned these things by rightly dividing the word of God, putting it together. Lambs aren't born in the winter. Lambs are born in the spring. Christ is the Lamb of God. If he was born in the spring and he was put to death in the spring, at the time of Passover, and all Passovers are observed as Sabbaths, then he didn't have to be crucified on Friday. Study to show your, 23rd chapter of Leviticus tells us all about it. Okay? And so we see that the two births, one witnessed by shepherds, the other witnessed by officials in a state government. Who comes to the birth of a king? Officials from other kingdoms. Okay? And they came, 2 years after, or close to 2 years after the birth of our Lord. The shepherds attended his birth. The Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world speaks of the first advent of Christ. The Magi attended the birth of a king. Yeah. And he has never reigned as king for one moment. He will do that in his second advent when he comes out as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So, you know, I don't want to bust anybody's bubble about celebrating Christmas. It's fine. It's fun. You know, kids figure it out pretty quickly. And believe me, they're not going to tell you when they figured it out. You know, don't tell Mom and Dad that you know that Santa Claus is a ruse, because then Santa Claus will quit coming. Okay, thus far as in prayer. Father, we praise you and thank you for the marvelous truth of your word. And we see in the birth attended by shepherds, the birth of the Lamb of God that was to be sacrificed as Christ our Passover, who was sacrificed for us. And then the Magi coming later, wanting to know, where is he that's born King of the Jews? They come and find him, and then have to return another way, and Joseph and Mary have to go into Egypt to keep from being killed by Herod's order. And then when they come back, they see that Archelaus, his ruthless brother, reigned in his stead, and they went on to Nazareth because he had to be called a Nazarene. He had to be out of that part of the world. We praise you and thank you for the way that all of the scriptures are fulfilled completely and perfectly in God's time, in God's way. We praise you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.